All right. Despite, against his wishes, like a hostage situation, Dwayne Kuiper on the UMA guest line. Kuiper, we heard you on the wrap. We'll try to have fun. Good morning. How are you?
Kuiper.
I'm in a bad mood.
Oh man. Come on. Pauly Mack made a funny Warriors song. Does that help?
No, not at all.
Oh, not today.
Jeez. What can we do? Can we talk about like your favorite movies or TV shows or something like that?
No. You know, the only thing I notice is what's happening now this year never happened last year.
What's that?
Well, where a lot of the breaks start going the other way, errors, fly balls that should be caught that aren't. They didn't do that last year. Their defense was really good. Mm-hmm. All the time. So when you're in the process of losing some games in a row, you know, that's going to be the major contributor, at least it is right now. And they got to clean it up because these next two games are important, and then they go on the road. Mets are good. They really are. And look, last night, you know, what happened before the game had everything to do with that loss. And that was the fact that Slater goes on the IL.
Mm-hmm.
If Slater plays last night, then you probably got Fairchild in left field and Ref at first. And then there's that pop-up that gets caught, and you know, you got a 2-2 game. And Alex Cobb really had great stuff. I mean, if you look at his line, you're thinking, well, that's the dumbest thing anybody's ever said. But he really did have great stuff. Struck out the side the first inning. His really, really only bad mistake was the home run he gave up to Alonso after the pop-up. So those are the things that, you know, they managed to avoid last year, and things are not the same this year. It's just not going to be the same, and you're going to have to plow through it. And that's what they have to do right now is plow through it. And, you know, everything was set up. Score some runs early for Alex Cobb, and Crawford hits the home run. But a couple of infield hits and a pop-up, and everything started to go sideways. And then at that point, the Giants just couldn't stop it.
You know what's crazy is, and it's tough. This has been a tough week, tough homestand, and it's tough to see the lineups that the players don't recognize. And yet, I'm going to spin positive just because I don't want everybody to be in a bad mood. They're 22-19. They're over 500. I mean, this isn't like a team that's 10 games under and toast. I mean, they're in it. And in fact, Wayne, the weird thing is, if the season ended today, they're in the playoffs.
There you go.
Yeah. The other thing too, Murph, is coming into the game last night, the Giants had scored more runs than the Mets. And if you look at that Mets lineup, I mean, they got a guy that's got 40 RBIs, 40. But yet the Giants had scored more runs than the Mets. I think the Giants had scored the third most, either in the National League or in the Major League, probably in the National League. So, you know, as much as that lineup looks really weird from day to day, they have been able to score runs. Not so much the two games against the Padres or even last night, but yet enough for them if they get some good, solid pitching, you know, they're going to win their share of games. So, yeah, it's not woe is me, but, it kind of feels like that after you haven't won a game at home. I mean, I think they're 500 now at home, which I said it last night, in a baseball sense, it's unacceptable because that's where you pick up your momentum is playing terrific at home. And they always have. In their championship years, playing at home was where they gained their ground. And they just haven't been able to hit their stride at home.
Yeah, well, losing five straight at home or four straight at home will do that to you for sure. They go again today. Logan Webb and the City connects tonight. We'll see how that goes at 6:45 as the Giants try to turn it around. Kuiper, one of the things I think we were just talking about this morning is that it's just the position player pitching in back-to-back games for the first time since 1906. And they mean they've gone all the way back to 1906 and they couldn't find another one. So it could be even longer than that. But, you know, it's weird. Fans are like, it almost feels like a white flag thing. I get it. Cap would tell you, hey, I don't want to burn a bullpen arm. But we were just playing that cut from Stripes where Bill Murray's girlfriend says, it's not that cute anymore. You know what I mean? And he says it's a little cute. What's your reaction to all that?
Well, I think it's meant for two reasons. One, to have some fun in a game that you don't have a chance to win and to save your bullpen. And then when you do it 2 days in a row, then it's really not that much fun anymore, but it does save your bullpen. So, you know, you kind of have to take the good with the bad. I certainly don't want to see it tonight. I mean, if it has to happen to save the bullpen, you know, that's what will happen. But I said it last night. I said I'm tired of it. And I'm not tired of it because it looks bad. I'm just tired of it because of the reasons why he's in the game. You know, these games are too lopsided. And, you know, that's just not fun for last night. They had, you know, I don't know, I think over 25,000 there. You know, and in some ways I feel bad for the fans because that's not what they came out to see. But it is baseball, and you never know what you're going to see. But to see it two games in a row, you know, it kind of makes you sick and tired of watching Luis Gonzalez pitch. But it is for fun, and it is to save the bullpen. So that's what they did last night. It wasn't fun, but they did save the bullpen.
Now, I hear you. It's not, yeah, it's just not that cute. We hope not to see it anytime in the near future here. A little bit on the another interesting move was Joey Bart getting pinch hit for by Papirski, who doesn't have any big league hits. Now, Joey did have a hit in the game, which brought him up to 171. That's nice. Also doing a pretty good job framing pitches, I thought, for Cobb last night. But there was a little bit of a brow raiser. Were you a little surprised?
Well, I mean, look, if you know the history of Gabe, I mean, he's not afraid to. I mean, what? Peterson had a couple home runs and then got pinch hit for.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, that's part of what the whole system is. You know, and maybe give this kid a chance to get his first major league hit. So, I mean, weird things happen in games like that. You just don't ever know how is the manager going to go about managing the rest of this game. I mean, I know they want to get this kid a hit and some at-bats and to see if he can help. I mean, we know that Papirski can catch. You know, can he help a little bit with the bat? And so maybe it was just a chance to give him an at bat to see if he can find his stroke and maybe get something going and play today and start today. You know, because Casale's injury really hurts. I mean, Wade, Belt, Casale, now Slater. You know, the list goes on and on. And after a while, you're just begging to get all those guys back at the same time. And just about the time the Giants get a couple of those guys back, two guys go down. And so that's what Gabe has kind of been dealt. And, you know, he's doing the best he can to try to mix and match. But after a while, it is going to catch up to you, and I think it has.
I do want to just point out again, as I'm trying to make everybody in a good mood, that after this is over, they go to Cincinnati. So there's
yeah,
that, there's
you know,
that guy.
And we've said that before, though, Murph. You got to be careful.
This is true.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
You know, well, what if Cincinnati rolls out three guys that all of a sudden, you know, pitch into the sixth and seventh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd like the schedule to get a little bit easier. But then again, you better be careful because those teams really want to get back on track and they want to roll you if they can. And don't think for a second the Reds don't know what's going on with the Giants. They may be thinking that the schedule's getting a little easier.
Huh. Wow.
So, I mean, you got to really be careful. But go into Cincinnati and take care of business. But it would be nice if they could go in and take care of business with a full squad.
Well, Chris Bassett tonight for the Mets is a righty. I was just looking at the stats. The Giants are having a little bit of trouble with lefties, surprisingly. So maybe that's a little bit of a break. They face a righty. Hey, well, here's the good news. Did you get at least – we mentioned this to Mike yesterday. Did you at least get to see Keith Hernandez and Ron Darling, one of your – I mean, they're kind of like the East Coast version of you guys.
Yeah, nice. Darling's not here. Keith is.
Okay.
So we had a chance to visit with Keith. He's a local kid.
Yeah. How's he doing?
I told a story last night that when we were playing, Mike Murphy used to say, I told the Giants to sign this Keith Hernandez kid. Because Murph scouted him or watched him play when he was in high school.
He knows.
And meanwhile, you know, Keith Hernandez is rolling along with the Cardinals and rolling along with the Mets in World Series and probably one of the best defensive first basemen I've ever seen, but not to diminish any of his skills offensively. He was just a terrific all-around player, a borderline Hall of Famer, in my mind. But, yeah, he's a good dude.
Yeah.
They do have a terrific broadcast team.
Did you hear the heckler last night, heckling Jeff McNeil?
I didn't, but I saw it on Twitter.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know.
It's kind of a Jock Peterson move for what Jock did in Milwaukee when they were heckling him. So you got to be careful what you say. You might inspire that guy at the plate.
It's funny because on Friday night, I was noticing Jorge Alfaro was just taking too long to get in the box. So I was letting him have it. I was saying, get in the box. Get in the box. So I was out there, Kipe. I was dangling. And then Brebbia struck him out. So I felt pretty good.
Yeah, well, we'll give that one to you, Murph.
Yeah. That's 1K for Murph.
It's not something hopefully you have to worry about next year. Hopefully the rules will be that you can't get out of the box. We're hoping. We got our fingers crossed.
Yeah. I was thinking about it as I was watching him dilly-dally, and I was saying it. I was thinking next year it's going to be a whole different deal. I mean, and you saw the results, right? The stats from all the – I mean, player games just dramatically picked up. And, again, this is not because we don't want to be at the ballpark. We want to be at the ballpark. But anything in life needs a good pace, like a movie or a round of golf. You know, you got to just have a nice pace.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah.
No, that's true. I mean, that's a great word for any sport that you watch. I mean, you know, you watch these golf tournaments on TV, and if there's one slow group, it just messes up the whole pace of the tournament.
Yeah.
So pace is a good game, and hopefully next year we'll see things speed up a little bit and have an opportunity to watch the ball and play a lot more in a much faster pace.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Like, sounds a really good word, Murph.
Like you, your favorite team other than the Giants, they've been playing at a pretty good pace, the Warriors.
Yeah, I'm really upset tonight. I mean, the NBA has done such a good job recently of putting games on when the Giants games aren't on. Well, that's not the case tonight. But we'll keep an eye on what's going on.
Yeah. Absolutely. I know, we need to.
They're playing great.
They are. They're playing at a good pace, Kipe.
My young man from Milwaukee is doing a good job.
Hey, two of them. How cute, how great is this story that Jordan Poole and Kevon Looney are both from Milwaukee, and that Poole was a freshman when Looney was a senior, and so he idolized Looney like the way you do when you're a freshman and there's a senior, you know? And he says he still looks at him that way.
That's cool.
And he said,
I like
when
that.
Looney goes off, he feels like a kid again.
And Looney's been playing fabulous ball.
Milwaukee Kipe.
Yeah,
they had Jordan Poole on the TNT postgame show with that group of four guys.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you heard Ernie Johnson introduce Jordan Poole. He's a born and raised Milwaukee kid just like myself.
Nice.
Because remember, Ernie Johnson's dad played for the 57 Braves that won the World Series.
Wait a minute. And all my trivia, I don't think I knew that one. That's awesome.
Yeah, Ernie Johnson's dad pitched a long time with the Milwaukee Braves.
Wow.
And that's where he was born and raised. So
didn't know that either.
Do you and Ernie have a friendship because of that?
No, I met Ernie. I've talked to him a couple of times. Yeah. But, you know, he started doing a few games once in a while for TNT, some play-by-play. But we haven't seen, with COVID and all the other stuff going on, we just haven't seen that group a lot, and I don't think he's doing it anymore. But I like him a lot. For him to be able to navigate those three guys, I think he should win an Emmy every year.
Oh my God, for sure. Yeah, I'm looking at. He was born in 1956, so he was in diapers when Ernie Johnson Sr. won the World Series.
Yep. So he's 6 years older than I am, and does a great job.
And I guess his dad became a commentator, a broadcaster.
For a long time, he moved along with the team to Atlanta.
Yeah,
And, you know, he was with that terrific team with Chip. It's a Chip or Skip?
Which one? There's multiples.
Yeah, I know. It would be Harry's son.
Is that Chip or Skip?
So I think it's Skip. Yeah, Chip is the one that now
Chip's the grandson, maybe?
Yes, Chip is with Atlanta. Yeah. I should know that because he's a friend. Yeah. And all those Carries start to look alike after a while.
Yeah, right? Exactly, except for Harry.
So Ernie Johnson was in that group for a long time in Atlanta when they were the Superstation. You know, they were the only local team that every game was on TV if you had cable, which is pretty remarkable when you think about it. And that was TBS then. And consequently, the Braves had fans all over the world, all over the country, not just people in Atlanta. And TBS had everything to do with that.
Hey, last one on a good bringing it back to the Giants. I'm just looking at MLB.com for some good stories, and they put out their new top 100 prospects list, and they highlight those who jumped the most. Do you know who's on that? I think if you're following the Giants farm system, you might know. Speaking of
Kyle Harrison.
Kyle.
Here we go.
Harrison.
Nice.
They have him now in the top 50, and his numbers are he's striking out exactly 50% of the batters he's facing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So,
you know, when you think about, you know, if the Giants were to, let's use an example to see if they could get some catching help, some depth. I mean, who's the one prospect teams are going to ask for?
Right.
They're not going to ask for him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that kid to go anywhere.
No.
Nope.
So anyway, yeah, we'll keep an eye on him, and maybe. Maybe he ends up on the fast track after this year.
I mean, it's hard to know. I mean, you think back to Bumgarner, right? You don't want to rush pitchers along, but geez, they brought up Bummy. He was 21, and I don't know, but he had been to AAA,
I think,
right?
He was younger than 21 when he came up.
Yeah, he was 20.
Yeah. I keep thinking about the night in October, game four. He was 21 that night. He had turned 21 in August, so he came up as a 20. So. Yeah. So what's happened?
Dwight Gooden was 19.
Matt Cain, I think Matt Cain was young too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Matt Cain was 19. But, you know, those guys were really, really mature for their age. And I don't know that much about Kyle Harrison. I'm sure that he's a mature kid. But maybe he's on the fast track. I hope so.
So what happened was with Bumgarner, I'm looking at it. He, in 2008, as an 18-year-old, he pitched in single-A ball Augusta. And then 2009, he was with San Jose. In 2009, they moved him up to AA Connecticut. I forgot they were in Connecticut. And then that year, they called him up. He played in he appeared in four games. And then he sent started the next year in Fresno, and then they called him up midway through that season, so he was 20 years old. So there it is. Yep. There's the path.
So the path can be quick, and Kyle Harrison's doing all the right things to make it fairly quick. It's good. It's fun to watch the farm system and the prospects, and you know, Luciano and those guys are on their way, so it's not that far away, Murph. It really isn't.
And by the way, what kind of award does Flem get for doing the game after a root canal?
Yeah, respect. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think he felt like he'd been gone for a week and he needed to be there. He really didn't. I mean, we had it covered if he couldn't go, but you know, the problem with a root canal is if you've never had one before, you just don't know. You only know what people tell you. And what people tell you really isn't truthful enough. It sucks.
Yep, it does.
And he goes in to get his teeth checked.
Yep.
Is that, you know, I got a tooth here, it's kind of bothering me. Said, well, the root canal lady is just two floors up. Why don't you pop in and see her?
Oh, man.
I said, well, that was your mistake. You got to say, no, I'm good for now.
I'm busy. I got something going on.
You know what? I'm good right now. Yeah.
You know, I got something to do.
Right.
So anyway, there he goes, and they start hammering away. He when it was done, he finally realized that all the things people had told him about a root canal, some were true, and most of it was false. It sucks.
Yes, it does.
But he did it.
He did it, and he survived. So, and he was so great for the PGA tournament. I can't tell you, he awesome. When ESPN Plus came on as early as 7 in the morning, there was Dave, and he was hosting, and he was fantastic.
He's very good at the golf.
It would be hard-pressed to say which is his best sport of the four. Because he's terrific at all of them.
He really is.
Yeah,
I mean,
he is.
Really, I mean, listen, he was always talented, but guys get better and better. He's just getting better and better. And
you know, people forget that his younger brother's part of the Red Sox broadcast radio crew.
It's like the Ernie Johnson family.
And he's good. Will Fleming is really, really good.
Or that Kuiper family.
Yes, that Kuiper family that ran as far away from the dairy farm as they could.
Yeah, but you guys can handle the mic or the camera if you're behind the camera.
Yeah, well, we discovered hairspray, and then we were off.
Well, I think you guys are good-looking. That's the thing. You're all good-looking. Yeah. That's how you could do it.
We'll see about that.
All right, Kipe. Well, listen, we got through it. Hey, Logan Webb tonight. Come on. That's the guy you want. I mean,
well, the guy on the mound is 5-1, opposite Webb.
I love this kid. I love him to death. And he pitched great in Colorado last Wednesday.
He did.
Yep.
I'm talking about Bassett.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant Webb.
Bassett is 5-1. His only loss is to the Giants.
Yeah, they got
him. There we go. Okay.
And he is really, really good. And he's one of my favorites. When I got diagnosed with cancer, right soon after that, after he won a game and during his press conference, before he started the press conference, he gave me a shout-out. And I didn't forget that.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've never shook his hand. His agent has been a friend of mine for 50 years. So I root for Bassett. I won't root for him tonight, but he's good. But our guy is just as good. So this is going to be a game where you would expect that it's going to be low scoring. So get after it and catch the ball. Look, I'm not blaming Ruff. In a lot of ways, sometimes those plays are not his fault because he's not being asked to go out there to play defense.
Right.
Try as hard as you can, and he's been pretty good at it. But anyway, catch the ball. That's the bottom line.
And I'm glad. I hope you get a chance to shake Chris Bassett's hand because I'm glad you told us that story. So, Dwayne, off you go.
Yeah,
great
Dwayne,
call
thank
tonight.
You. Yes.
We'll do it next week.
Yes. See you guys.
Dwayne Kuiper.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.